Hello and welcome to In The Back Pocket, a show where we try and find you a winner and have some good takes on the AFL football Anzac weekend this weekend. Wednesday and Thursday games are welcome in. The game's biggest voice, Kane Corns.
Got some good takes for you today, Brownie. Great round of footy coming up. The season is just hotting up. Looking forward to it.
And a man who won so many premierships and he's a Cuban cigar expert, he's been telling us, is Isaac Smith.
Oh, sorry, my mind's still in the Caribbean or Caribbean, however you want to say it. So, yeah, telling some good stories, but they're all off
air. Did you smoke a few cigars after you won your premiership, did you?
Oh, we did. I actually brought a couple home from Cuba and we pulled them out when we won a couple, which was good fun.
All right, well, let's get into the footy because the premiership odds at the moment, it's very, very tight at the top of the tree, as you'll see here. So the Giants, not much between Geelong and Sydney. So Geelong were a pretty big price at the start of the season. Carlton, Collingwood, Melbourne. So you've got three clubs in there. Six clubs in there, very, very close together. It is a hard one to pick right now.
That is a hot market, isn't it? And I keep looking at Geelong. It feels like only a couple of weeks ago they were $22. They're in as good a position as any team. They're undefeated. They got stack list. They got plenty of depth. And Chris Scott's the best coach in it by a mile.
Coleman medal time too. So Jeremy Cameron's up there. Charlie Kerno, Jesse Hogan, Harry Mackay, Ben King, but you feel like it has to come from the top three. I would have thought Kerno, Hogan and Mackay.
Jeremy Cameron, Isaac?
Yeah, he's a sneaky chance. I think Hawke might take too many off him. And Ollie Henry's having a fantastic year as well. So it's hard because to me, they've probably got the best forward line in the competition, so it's going to be a fair spread.
Didn't like the wet on the weekend, Jezza, did he?
No. My man, Isaac Heaney, is cleaned out here. He is known as Isaac Cleaney because he's that clean below his knees.
Terrible.
Half of the quote of everybody else. So you've got Bontempelli, Cripps, Connor Rosie, Tom Green, but Isaac Heaney at $5. He's very, very well placed. Probably would have got three last week, 28 disposals, and he kicked the goal again.
What about Nick Dacos at $18?
$18. He can get on a run.
I think he got the three against Port Adelaide on the weekend, and my word, he can get a run. Long way to go.
I reckon
he did 30,
quite
14.
First half.
14 scoring moments. His second half was extraordinary. So definitely would have got two at least. I think he could make a hot run.
He's no Isaac Cleaney.
All right, let's get into the first game. And it is Wednesday night football. This is a good clash. Richmond up against Melbourne. Richmond get back a couple of players, but Melbourne to make the top four, it's a long-term bet, but it's 225.
What do you think about that? They're a good side. They did lower their colours against Brisbane. I think they're going to be pretty strong off the bye with their ability to actually train and sharpen up. And against the poor Richmond side, they'll bounce back. But if you look at Geelong, Carlton, GWS and Collingwood, I think they're good chance to make the top four. How do you see the Ds?
Yeah, I like what they've put together this year. They've had a couple of little mishaps. Their forward line, they're still working out a little bit, but their defence and midfield are really strong. I'm really looking forward to the game on Wednesday night. I've never been, only seen it on TV, and it's one of the great spectacles in footy.
Petty kicked six against the Demons last year. Against the Brisbane Lions, their forward line didn't function. Their forward line's been very good so far this year, but it didn't function. So here's Harrison Petty. He's been down on form compared to what he's been able to put out there. Cozzy Pickett's the other one who'll be buzzing around.
You couldn't go there, could you? I mean, he's been awful, Harrison Petty. I just wouldn't be going anywhere near that. Cozzy Pickett, though, probably would. You think he's hungry. He's let them down a couple of times with his discipline during games and has been suspended far too often. But a few midfield minutes for Cozzy, which gets him involved.
And so Petty just purely on form, you couldn't go
form.
There?
Nah, just don't.
What about when you look at Richmond's defensive unit?
That's the thing that you would favour them, him to actually kick one or two, but I just wouldn't be confident with going with Harrison Petty. Doesn't feel like a natural forward to
me. Well, speaking of goals, let's have a look at Bolton and also Fridge first. So I think this is where one of the best bets in the week comes up with Bailey Fridge. So their last few weeks, considering how they've been kicking multiple goals, is brilliant. So I like Bailey Fridge to kick a minimum three goals. So here's Bolton, his last 4 weeks, every week he's kicked two. So two is Bailey Fridge. Bailey Fridge is a bit of a shorter price, but the thing I love about Bailey Fridge is he is very, very good in front of the stick, and he does not miss.
No, he doesn't. And Waterman got a hold of Richmond as well. Like, so I see Fritch is that similar size forward. So there's the best bet there. 3+ goals, 260. He may kick six. I mean, that's how poor Richmond are going, and they were unable to stop Waterman. I think Fritch is a better player than Waterman. So if you like that, I think he could kick it back.
So you didn't like Petty, but you like Fritch?
Yes.
Oh. Nice.
He's a much more accomplished forward than Harrison Petty, Bradley.
All right. It is now time for On Notice.
I've gone to the biggest name in football. I'm putting him on notice. No one escapes being put on notice on this show, and I'm going directly to Dustin Martin. Ooh. Because there's been some talk around if he's going to play on and if he's still hungry and motivated to play on. So I want to see it, because all I'm seeing is Dustin Martin run around. He does some nice things, has a good game every three or four, but he's had 20 disposals only once this year and he's kicked 3 goals for the year. He's not tackling. I think defensively he's been poor. So Dusty, if you want to be there, show us that you want to be there. Game 300 is coming up. It's not just a walkout. Let's just finish the year and my career nicely. If you want to play, show us. It's a big stage. He's a big stage player. And I just need to see some more urgency from the game.
This is last year, you think?
Dustin Martin. I think it should be, because that's the way that it looks like to me that he is finishing up. But if he doesn't want it to be, actually show us. Play with some urgency, play with some intensity, and do what we know that you can do and be the match winner that you have been for so long.
He's on his own here. I'm not taking down the modern
Just get a free ride.
You can do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do.
You put your name up and your hand out for the big check and you're on 1.2 million.
Mate, he should probably be on five.
And that's fine. But
he could have been on 10 a year and he still would have been underpaid.
No, look, what he's done is extraordinary. But actually show us if you want to still be playing AFL football, and I want to see that.
All right, you're on your own there, Kane. So good luck to Dustin Martin this weekend. But it is Anzac Day. And all the way back to 1995, there's been so many highlights. Where the first one was a draw. You couldn't get into the ground. There was 95,000 people there. But this looks like a really good addition with Essendon playing good football. There have been good games where they've been on the ladder, but this one shapes up to be a beauty.
This shapes up to be awesome. What Essendon delivered the last 2 weeks, there was question marks around them. And they're obviously in a period of building their side, probably not for the right now, but into the future. But both teams, after the weekend, playing great football. We should see an absolute cracker.
I just thought Collingwood's pressure was back, and to see that live and to see the way that their supporters get behind them and the momentum that other teams can't stop. Port Adelaide couldn't stop it. So they thought that if we pressure Port Adelaide, they're going to be vulnerable in that space. I feel like it's the same for the Bombers. Have they faced a level of pressure that Collingwood are about to apply? It could be a bit of a wake-up call for the Bombers.
Because we have the Brownlow medal, you don't really get to vote on each game until the end of the season, but this is one of the rare games where you get to vote on the best player on the ground, which is the Anzac Day medal, and the value is everywhere, and the punters love this. So Nick Dacos is very short. Zach Merritt, I mean, he's playing some pretty good football at the moment. They don't tag. DeGoey's in there, Dacos, Martin, all the way down to Pendlebury at $26, and I believe you don't mind Darcy Moore, he's not even on that page at 41.
Yeah, so I think Collingwood are going to win, so the Anzac medalist comes from the Collingwood Football Club. And if you like some value, I just thought there were signs last week that Darcy Moore was back to his best. 3 intercept marks he took in the third quarter, I think it was, and led from the front. But you think Merritt's got a very good record against the Pies?
Well, if they win, I like Zach Merritt, because if they win, you'd feel like he has to get 30 disposals. He's the man most likely. Josh Dacos out in that wing, so I'm going to step around, because I feel like Essendon could run some run with players on maybe even Dacos and DeGoey.
Yep.
Look, Dacos might be the best man on the ground, Nick, I'm talking about, but I'm looking for value outside that. And here's the value. Nick Martin at halfback. He's had a 44 disposal game this year. And Bobby Hill looked as sharp as ever last week. He's done it on the big stage before. Essendon don't handle small forwards this year. So him or Elliott or McCreary. But I just like Bobby Hill, how he's getting forward. And he gave off 4 last week.
Yeah, he did. Bobby Hill looks clean and fast. And he looks in great nick. He's just not getting some opportunities at the moment. But I'm tipping a little upset here, Essendon.
Really?
Yeah. Like the Bombers.
Make a case.
Well, I just think Anzac Day, you're never quite sure. Even when Collingwood's on top, Essendon on the bottom ladder, or vice versa, they seem to switch results for this one day. Andy McGrath has been absolutely racking them up. I reckon he's your sort of value guy to have a bit of a look at.
Yeah.
And Scotty's building a team at the moment where it's not about one person delivering, so anyone could pop up on the day. So, yeah, a sneaky little Essendon, you know, there's value there. And Andy McGrath, I reckon he might ruck up 35 and take the medal.
So before we get into your same game multi, tagging on this game. Mm. So Durham's done a good job on Bontempelli. Caldwell's done some run with Rolls. Who are you targeting?
Well, probably DeGoey. Yeah, I think Durham to DeGoey is the one. So Durham did a great job on Bontempelli when Essendon beat the Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago. So I think that's a similar matchup, DeGoey and Bontempelli. So it's not a direct tag. It's not going to be completely sacrifice your game, but put a body on him and then just make life a little bit more difficult for DeGoey. Another other teams have had good success against him this year.
That's right. What I like about it, that it's not a direct tag. He goes to him at stoppages, he keeps a count of him, and I'm sure it's a team tag. They'll have a team notice on Degoe, but then Durham goes and gets his own footy and he's actually damaging the other way.
Changing the guard at Essendon with their midfield, you mentioned Caldwell and Durham, and Hobbs plays that aggressive role as well, led exceptionally well by Merritt, but not as reliant now on Parrish, who I think is vulnerable to being pushed out, as we've discussed this year on this program. But I just like the energy and the defensive accountability from the younger Essendon midfield.
Start us off with a winner. Same game multi.
Same game multi. Well, here we go. We'll get it up on here. I'm going 2 goals for Jake Stringer. Yeah, I like the package. He's in good nick. And I love his leadership and his maturity at the moment. Hearing him talk after the game sounds in a really good spot. Bobby Hill for 2 goals. And then McGrath and Dacos. I think that knocked that over in their sleep. 25 plus.
9 bucker. That is a big one. That's Isaac's same game multi for the Anzac Day game. Now, another huge game this weekend is the Giants up against the Brisbane Lions. The Giants got some injury concerns. Tribunal, we don't know whether Jesse Hogan and Toby Green are playing, but the Brisbane Lions, let's look at their top 8 odds at the moment, because you feel like, Kane, if they are to play final, if they are to win the premiership, they can't do it from 5th to 8th.
Has to be top 4. So they've lost 4 games. Now, the average to make the top 4 is 7 losses. You can't have any more than 7. So they've only got 3 more up their sleeve. There's the odds. Still very good odds to make the 8, and that's fine. I still think they get there, but to make top 4 is where my focus lies. That is an interstate side. You can't win the premiership from outside the top 4, and they're a team that really, a pass mark, as harsh as it is, probably had to win the premiership this year for their fans to be satisfied. It's been a long time since 2003. They got a stacked squad, they're all in, and they've been disappointing, it must be said.
I'm just waiting for them to fire. The numbers on the weekend, in the wet especially, but these have been their numbers all year, not exactly, but they were plus in disposals and handballs against Geelong. They were minus 60 inside 50s, but plus disposal efficiency, plus free kicks, plus stoppages, minus 1 centre clearance, plus contested possession, plus intercepts, plus tackles lose? Inside forward 50.
Giving me all these pluses, no, how did they lose?
But isn't it crazy? I'm just waiting for them to absolutely fire, because they're getting numbers like this each week, but it's like the connection or something from midfield or defence to their forward 50 isn't working. So I think Joe Danaher has a really big game this week with Taylor out.
I think their forward line's their great Achilles heel. When it is good, it is the best in the competition. When it is not as good in those conditions, they just bombed it in last week and didn't allow them to hit the scoreboard.
And it was a terrible game of footy in the sense that I thought Geelong were very mature in the way they went about it and had a great win, but there was just so much water that it's just a type of game of footy you don't normally
see. And I think once you take away Harris Andrews and his weapon, they're vulnerable there, and then Lachie Neale O'Connor goes to Lachie Neale, and Lachie Neale still had enough of the footy, 28 I think it was, but it wasn't the same impact and damage for the two-time Brownlee medalist. But then there's the Giants, Brownie. I mean, they're stacked in their forward line, they've got options there, and then we're looking at the market there for their key forwards. Now they've got 4 of them, depending on Hogan and whether or not he plays. Cadman's in there as well, but Brown's an athlete. So if you like him for 3+, he could. He's kicked. I think he kicked a 5 earlier on in the year, and Riccardi's the same, who's looked a lot better. So they do have key forward options, and both teams off a loss. That's why this game for me is so fascinating.
I've found some value. I have found some value. You talk about their forward half of the ground. So no Oscar McInerney. So where does this guy play? I feel like he has to play at least 30% in the ruck, Joe Danaher. So it was $1.50 to get 15. That's already come into $1.43. So 4 of his last 5 games, he's had more than 15. I'm almost thinking that Joe Danaher has 20 plus. So Darcy Fort, we potentially would thought would come in and play a ruck role as well. But Danaher, and I even like him when McInerney's playing in the ruck, that he comes up and takes the ruck, because I feel like it gets him into the game more, it gets him clashing bodies, and I feel like 15 plus is a starting point, but I wouldn't be surprised if Danaher gets 20 plus this
week. Well, I feel like he has more scoreboard impact with this as well, because he gets up the ground, he comes back, they're not as they're worried about Danaher, they just can't connect the defence as easily when they see him coming back, and I feel like he can have a massive impact on this game.
Brisbane can win the premiership?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think slipping away.
I think what you see now is teams getting on runs, and Collingwood did it last year where they obviously finished higher, but teams that get on runs, we did it the year before at Geelong where you just get on this hot streak, and I feel like if they can get on a hot streak, they can win anywhere.
It's a good hot streak when they get on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, that's the first couple of games done and dusted. We're going to have a look at Friday night after the break, and Cuban cigar expert over here, mates in the media, that's back as well. Welcome back to In The Back Pocket. The Friday night games. Friday night's a great night for football. Port Adelaide up against the Saints. But on the back of Port Adelaide last week, they were brilliant. for about a quarter and 10 minutes. And then what happened after that? The Saints, how can you trust the Saints playing a full game of football at the moment? I know they look flat, but everyone's talking about three games in 11 days. They still had a 5-day and a 6-day break. So it sounds a lot worse, three games in 11 days, than a 5-day and a 6-day break.
And how do you explain their start as well? I mean, I get the fatigue settling in after half time, but right from the start against the Bulldogs, Waitman was making them look silly. Norton was making them look silly. Bailey Dale made them look silly. So they just weren't there mentally from the start. And you wonder whether Ross Lyon's comments may be reflected on the group. Port Adelaide to make the top four out to $3. So they've lost some faith, I guess, in the punters. Different story last week with the way we were discussing Port Adelaide. And then to make the eight, the Saints, $3. You think it's going to be difficult for them to do that. I just don't see the bright side to the Saints. How many positives can you find from them this year? Maybe Nasai Wanganeen-Miller, but that's about it.
They were really good against Collingwood a few weeks ago when they had their full contingent of players. They're missing King on the weekend. Going inside forward 50 looked difficult. Mason Wood's been a real connector for them. They lost him against that.
Liam
Henry's been massive. He was going to be the recruit of the year, I reckon, the way he was going about it. They're a side that can't afford to have three or four of their better players and more influential players out at the moment. I think Ross's comments were fair. I don't think anyone had St Kilda in the top six on the ladder coming into the season.
Have you ever heard
anyway.
A coach speak so negatively?
But doesn't it show an amazing awareness by Ross Lyon that he's looking at his team and he understands that they are going to go out and put up a stinker? Yeah, so he knew before the game and he spoke about it. But it's an amazing awareness to go, they're off tonight. Yeah, you don't often quite pick it up, do you?
Before 50 minutes before the game.
Well, I think a lot of coaches would pick it up. They just would never verbalise it. So they're in an interesting spot. Their younger players are going to be their best players. It's just how long can it take them all to come through? And I think Lyon and Bassett have a different strategic plan to what possibly the media think they were going to deliver this year and next year. So I still think they're 12, 24 months off.
When you lost that grand final by 119 points, could you feel it before the game?
No. We thought we were going in very well. Good shape. And then about 20 minutes in, when Michael Pettigrew got run down by Brad Ottens, it was all over.
It was over. Okay, my man, Big Charles Dixon, he is back from a week off, so he'll be ready to go.
Has he texted you back yet?
He has texted me. Apparently I had the wrong number.
Oh, you had the wrong number for him. Well, there's his number. Because I think he's going to play well fresh. He's pretty getting old now, to put it
pretty
nicely.
Getting old.
I was trying to think of a nice way to put that, but that's just the reality of it. So they got to look after him. They did that. They would have loved him to be there against Collingwood, but fresh off the break where he sat home, drove his cars, he should be mentally and physically refreshed.
Oh, I'm going to take you through my best bet for this game because it revolves around halfbacks and what halfbacks have done to St Kilda. So Ross said Nick Martin wasn't hurting us, so we weren't going to put anyone on him, but it's been all year. And then last week, 39 and 31 for the two halfback flankers. The week before that, 35. Going back to Maynard never gets 20-plus disposals. Right. He had 24 back in round two. So, big numbers. And that brings me to Dan Houston, who's played some great football this year. And Dan Houston averages 23 disposals a game. So, looking at those disposals of the players we just showed you, I feel like that average now gets boosted up this weekend. His disposal line, 24.5. I feel like Dan Houston goes over that. So, that's my best bet for this game.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is it the way St Kilda are moving the ball or is it their half forwards and how they're setting up? Because I think that's something you can stop pretty quickly if you identify it.
Half forwards are going up and just allowing a free reign.
Yeah.
All right, time for No Mates in the Media. Okay, Isaac, No Mates in the Media. Who was a player that you played with who would have had a good bloke clause at the AFL Tribunal and a bad bloke clause?
Well, we'll go bad first.
Yeah.
Certainly, Hodgie, Jordan Lewis or Brian Lake wouldn't have had the good bloke calls. I think between them, they've probably had 70 or 80 game suspension in their careers. So, good bloke. You'd nearly have to say Ben McAvoy is one of the nicest guys that's played football. Tom Hawkins is one of the nicest guys I've ever met, but I think he went through a pretty rough patch where he was at the Tribunal every second week for a little bit there.
Memorabilia, it's big in some people's houses. I know when the kids get home at Kane's, they have to touch the photo of Kane as they go through the door. Have you got any memorabilia at home?
No, I'm not a big memorabilia guy. Maybe that's because I've got enough medals just to sit there.
Yeah, I do. Josh Rashely had a couple of poor moments on that Friday night game against the Bombers. Did you ever have one and how was it handled at your footy club?
Yeah, I missed a pretty crucial goal in a big final, Kane.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about, has your courage or your hardness ever been questioned?
I would argue that any player that's ever played the game has had a contest where...
What's the best way to handle it, though?
The best way to handle it, you asked, have I had one? The best way to handle it, I think you've got to show that you're there, support them. I think they understand. The thing that has probably changed from your era or even earlier to now is you understand that no player wants their actions to be seen like that and they want to do the right thing, but you'd get berated years ago. Now it's about support. How do we get better? How do we make sure that that doesn't happen again? Unfortunately for Rochelle, it was in a big game for them and it was highlighted on a Friday night, which hurts. If it happens down in Tasmania or something on a Saturday game, it's different again.
He has owned it this week, though.
I just thought he was brilliant the way that he fronted the media. He said, look, it was my mistake. It wasn't good enough, essentially, and I'm going to learn from it.
And as a senior player, I think you bring it up straight away. You deal with it and you move on.
Yeah. Like, I reckon they have a good week on the back of this. Yeah. The fact that he put his hand up and he's owned it. I'm big on Josh Rochelle this week.
He might feature in one of my best bets of the week.
Oh, I like that one. Okay, let's get into that game. North Melbourne up against Adelaide. North Melbourne, not sure where to go with them. I thought that I liked their midfield at the start of the season, but Lease wins now. I feel like it's just almost I'm not going to say a moral because you don't want to use that word, but they're pretty short there and I don't think they can beat Adelaide here. And for me, it looms as a big game for Tex. The amount of ball they should have inside their forward 50 metre. We know Tex can kick big goals. He's kicked a bag of 10, but I think six goals is $14. But I'm happy to start with three. Happy to start with three because he's done it four times, the last four times he's played. So two plus, three plus, four plus. To kick six, he's $14.
I just don't know who plays on him. Charlie Conman's been back there, but he went forward after half time to provide another target. So I'm just not sure that they've got an answer for him. And whoever plays against North Melbourne, their key forwards are, smelling blood, and they have done this year.
Well, I'd love to see Adelaide. Even if a guy's got a mark 40, 50 metres out from goal and it's a midfielder, half forward, about to have a shot, and you see Walker or Fogarty there, 15, even 12 metres away, just kicking the ball.
Is that what you did for Hawkins?
A little bit. But get confidence in your key forwards, because then the opposition that you're coming up in weeks to come, they've got to put such a priority on their key forwards. Where at the moment, it feels like Adelaide, they're getting goals from different spots, but make Fogarty and make Walker your genuine targets, because then the little players around them will feed off that and you'll get more opportunities.
Hey, Brownie, I want to ask you about Harry Sheezel, because he's been a lock for 30-plus all year, but now Alistair Clarkson under some pressure from the outside saying he may play more midfield forward. So you're looking at his disposal marker. Are you worried now because he has been a guarantee for 30 this year?
I probably wouldn't back him if he moved out of the back line. It is such an easy role. So I feel like it's teaching him bad habits at the moment. You can't play halfback too long if you're going to be a midfielder. And we feel like he is going to be a midfielder. So learning bad habits at halfback, and you highlighted a few of those last week with his defending, he has to be a midfielder. That team's going to go forward. He has to lead the midfield.
I know he called the game on the weekend.
Yeah.
He got a ball about 55 metres out from goal and hit a target as good as anyone in the competition, 30 metres out directly in front. When they're ready, when they can get that skill level in their forward half, he's going to be one of the best and silkiest players in the comp.
Absolutely. So it is a game down in Tasmania. So you'd have to give North Melbourne an okay chance of winning this game. They're a lot better down there. Adelaide, can they travel? They haven't travelled that well over the last 18 months. So do you give them any small chance at all?
I think the line's about 28.5 points. So maybe if you like North Melbourne, you like the line and you think they can respond and be competitive. But my faith in them took a big hit because I thought against Hawthorn, I thought they were a good shot. I know you did as well. Same age profile, rebuilding club. But to get absolutely destroyed in that game, I thought, gee, if they can't be competitive against Hawthorn, how are they going to go against sides like Adelaide and the rest of the comp?
Yeah, I fell into Isaac Rankin too last week, and I thought on the back of his big game the week before, and looked at half time, he'd only racked up two disposals. So I feel like he's going to bounce back. It's a perfect game for him to bounce back. But as I spoke about before, my best bet in this game, I am chips in on this man, Tex Walker. Three plus goals at $1.92. There's four plus, there's five plus, there's six plus at 14. I didn't even check the price for 10 plus, but he's done that before. Plenty more still to come. The Geelong Carlton game's a ripper. Welcome back to In the Back Pocket, Isaac Smith. You got Kane Corns, and the best game of this year looms. It might be the best game of the round. The Cats up against the Blues. Is there a better tall forward assortment in this game? You got Hawkins, you got Cameron, and you got the two big boys, Curnow and Mackay at Carlton. This looms a big one, particularly with Tom Stewart out.
Yeah, hopefully a shootout, big blow Tom Stewart, but the Blues have got their issues as well with injury. There's the goal scoring markets, and these two, although Cameron was quiet last week, and it hasn't been a huge year for Hawkins, rested against North Melbourne, he would have been disappointed about that, but there you go, if you think they can get a hold of them. And up the other end, how good were these two, particularly in the third quarter, 5 goals between them after a quiet start, it must be said. He kicked three, and also to Koning.
So who plays on those two? Well. Who plays on the Carlton forwards?
Well, it'll be an interesting setup because Geelong, I'm not worried about Stewart being out because they've got Henry, Sam Vekoning, Collar Jasny and Zach Guthrie, who are all in awesome form at the moment. Worst comes to worst, you take Mark Blitzarves back there as well and you get extra help. So I think SDK will go to Harry because he'll play the deepest, and maybe Collar will go to Charlie Curnow. But it'll be interesting. They've got 4 blokes that they can literally flip between to take whoever they want at any stage and where they are on the ground. So
who plays the third man in role? Who takes Tom Stewart's role?
I think Zach Guthrie, maybe.
He's been good this year.
He's been good for 3 or 4 years. I remember when I first got there, Geelong took a while to sign him 1 year, and then since then, he's been as good as any defender in that Geelong backline. He's been brilliant.
I don't think it's going to be the tools that do the job for the Cats in this game. I think the smalls are the ones to watch out for. Carlton have had their issues with small forwards. So you've got Brad Close, you've got Tyson Stengel, you've got Myers who plays up more the ground a little bit. But Tyson Stengel, multiple goals in every game in his last 4, and at $2.10, I'm happy to take that every day of the week to put into your same game multi. And Brad Close, as an anytime goal scorer, at $1.48, just to kick one goal, he kicked the goal in every one of his last 4 games. I feel like these two guys are going to have a big say.
Yeah, I think the forward line for Geelong in general, just the mix that they've got there with the talls and the smalls, I mean, they're value for touch. But Stengel was subbed out in the first game against the Saints. Since then, he's been absolutely brilliant. But the midfield is what I want to ask you about, because I think Geelong have the advantage in every other area, but we've seen what Walsh and also Cripps have been able to do through the midfield. Does Geelong have the firepower to match those two in the midfield?
I don't necessarily think they have the firepower in the sense that we're going 3v3, we're going to run out of front of stoppages. I think that's where it goes to Carlton. You've got Walsh and Cripps certainly in great form at the moment. But where they can stop them is they have Mark Blitzarves, a bit of a unicorn. If they want to use him in the midfield, he can go to one of these two players. He's stronger than them.
He has played on Cripps before.
He can run faster than them. He can run longer than them. He can jump higher than them. So all the other one is Mark O'Connor, who can run all day, and he's a very strong boy as well. So they can go, they'll play more of a chess match versus like, let's just try and win the footy and bust out the front. And then you got Dangerfield back. Bruin's been in unbelievable form, and Parfitt, he's the best tackler I've played with in.
Who's he going to manage this week, Scotty? Because, I mean, coming from Brisbane in a wet game where Carlton haven't had to travel and they've played indoors in a pretty bruise-free game, albeit I'm sure they were sore somewhat, do you worry about with Geelong's age profile in a wet game travelling from Brisbane, that could cost them?
Well, yeah, it's always more difficult, as you know, after a wet game and your legs are heavier, but they held out Zach Tui and Reece Stanley. Yep. I think Toby Conway comes straight out after.
Your man.
I think a big slog in the wet. He's only early in his career. You bring Reece back in. He'd played fantastic 2 games before he went out. They'll bring Zach back in and they'll probably pull someone else out and rest their legs.
Same game multi.
Yeah, let's have a look at that, Brownie. I've gone with some value in this game. $10.50. Ollie Henry, I just think he may get off the chain. All the focus on Hawkins and Cameron. He was pretty good in the wet, so I think he's got 3 in him. Dangerfield had 20, but I think he's going to look better for the run for the second time. Mitch Duncan across halfback takes the kickouts and racks them up across halfback.
And you can follow that sports bet feed. There's plenty of bets to copy and explore, and other punters, your mates, mine, Isaac's, Kane's in there as well. Also, Kate, who's not here today, but sports bet feed. And just one other quick player, Nick Newman. They're low on defenders and they gave him the ball at every chance last week. So I think his disposal line is 23.5. I feel like he goes over that.
He's a beautiful user. Gee's improved. His last 18 months has been brilliant.
And no McGovern, no Sard as well. So yeah, they are reliant on his beautiful ball user.
Everyone loves value.
What?
The bird watcher.
It was me. That's a good stinger, that one, I tell you what. So, where was the value last week? And the value, somebody backed Aaron Norton to kick 6 at $71. Congratulations, whoever was out there. So the value hunters. So where are we finding value this week? So there are some values around. So this is what we put together. I'm not sure many of them got up last week, but text for 6 for me, Kane. Rochelle in a big way.
Looking at a response, he's done it before. Josh Rochelle, and I just think it could be a big afternoon against the hapless Kangaroos.
Now, McGrath's averaging 31 disposals a game, so all he has to do is maybe sneak a goal or two, and it's his.
Hey, you were close to getting the draw last week, weren't you?
You win some, you lose some.
I reckon this is the hardest game to pick this weekend. Fremantle up against the Western Bulldogs. Where do you start? Fremantle's poor form the last couple of weeks, or the Western Bulldogs' mismatch form. You've been into Bevo again. They've responded, the Western Bulldogs. But this is a hard game.
It's just whether you give Fremantle a let-out-of-jail-free card, because they've been in Adelaide for a couple of weeks, had a tough travel schedule. They'd been pretty good up until that game against West Coast. So do you allow them to have a one-off bad game, or do you think the problems are deeper than that? To make the 8-250, that's going to be difficult for them, I would have thought, with the competition. I do like the Bulldogs to make the 8, though. They've got a pretty easy draw and a stacked playing list. But this game in general is a really difficult one. I personally would probably stay away from it.
Yeah, it's difficult. Isn't it funny, though? Freo, they lost to Carlton by 10 points and Port Adelaide by 3. Their first 5 weeks was probably as good as any team in the competition. And it was just one out of the box last week.
Rory Lobb, I thought that was the best game he's played since he came across to the Bulldogs. Didn't hit the scoreboard in a big way, but I thought he competed well and he had space to move.
His contests were awesome.
He's off TikTok. He's not doing those stupid TikToks anymore, but here's Aaron Norton. I mean, we've been waiting for this for a while. What they did, they said no more TikToks, because he was almost making a mockery about the fact that he was playing VFL, but that's what you want to see. We don't want you on TikTok, we want you doing this. And I mean, they do have a lot of cover forward of the ball. Norton was awesome. Sam Darcy is going to be anything. And when Ugal Hagen returns, I mean, he's a weapon as well.
I love the Bulldogs game on Thursday night, and their pressure was off the charts. At one stage during the third quarter, it was at 269. That's unheard of numbers. And they were over 200 for the first three quarters of the match.
Can they do it consistently, the Bulldogs, though? That's what we need to see. We need to see them put 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row, because they're a good side when they're at their best.
I told you last week, it was chips in for Jack McRae to get big numbers, and he got them. But now Tom Liberatore comes back in, so I feel like Jack McRae has to make way and probably start either at half forward or out in the wing, which doesn't give you the chances to get those disposals. So I'm going to step away from Jack McRae this week. The unknown, the uncertainty about where he plays.
He had 7 tackles on the weekend. That was the most pleasing thing from being a neutral supporter watching the game. I just thought, especially his and Dale, their aggression. And Dale mentioned it after the game. He said they wanted to bring a harder edge, and I just thought they were brilliant.
It was the perfect game for Bailey Dale last week. St Kilda just allow numbers to defenders and halfbacks. Him, Johannesson had 31. Yeah. Everybody talking about it was a masterstroke from Bevo to leave him out of that side. It was just, he'd come up against a very good opposition to be able to get the ball against.
Absolutely, he was hungry. Had a great first quarter. What I loved about it as well was where he was winning his possessions in the forward half of the ground, setting up Norton, career high 39, high up in scoring involvements. And you think now, I mean, that's the standard for him. He won't get those numbers each week, but just put his magnet there across halfback for the rest of the year and don't mess with it.
Luke Jackson, Sean Darcy. So Luke Jackson, 4 weeks in a row, had 20 plus disposals. Jackson comes back in. I've been backing him every week for 20 plus, only has 12. So the issue is now you just can't back Luke Jackson, because you feel like he's only going to play 30 to 40% of the ruck.
How do you balance it? Yeah, it's a problem for them. Jackson's going to have to spend a lot of time.
It's a problem for them. It's a problem for me punting.
Yeah, definitely a problem for you. Didn't have a clearance, only had one mark, and that came late in the game. Yep, we kicked a couple of goals, but Darcy is a ruckman. He's not a forward, so he has to play ruck, which means they need to find a different role for Jackson. Not convinced he's a forward. I'm not convinced he's a midfielder. He's a ruckman. And I think it's a balancing act.
Well, I reckon he could be the old ruck rover.
No.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I hear that.
And play him a different way. You get your half forward. You bring your half forward up once the contest stop. You play him as a running midfielder. Jackson can either float in front of the ball or behind the ball. And you use him as a big
like
body.
Like Blixar. If you want to see him play like Blixar.
Well, maybe that's...
So Sarong, Brayshaw, Jackson on ball.
Yeah. And then you have a half forward, whether that's O'Meara or someone else that they run through there, to come up and play as a midfielder around the ground. And you can just use him as a chess piece, whether you want him back, forward.
He was saying before the show that he wants to be a senior coach.
Did I say that? The microphones are always going, so yeah, we'll find out next week.
No, I didn't say it.
If I ever do become a senior coach, I think
they were the words.
Marcus Bontempelli, for me, I think he's due for a big game. He's been forward, kicked some goals, been down, but for me, Marcus Bontempelli, 25 plus, going to have a massive one. We're going to look at the Sunday doubleheaders up next. If you're not on the Sportsbet feed, you absolutely need to be. What about this? Kate nailed a $20 multi. Jackson to kick 2, Yo to kick a goal at any time, and Harley Reid to kick 1 at any time as well. I mean, that explains why Kate's not here today. She's obviously taken her money and ran, but you can follow her Sportsbet feed and copy those bets. And geez, it wouldn't be nice to copy a $20 one, Kate.
On the feed, who's got the most followers out of us four? Now, after that, I think Kate's following.
Absolutely. Should go through the roof.
We should run a little competition for those watching. If you think you love Isaac, follow him. Brownie's been doing it for a long time. If you like the volcano, get behind me. And if you want some value hunting, follow Kate.
Absolutely. Kate's doing a great job. She will be back next week. So, Gold Coast up against the West Coast Eagles. Gold Coast couldn't have been more disappointing in a big test last week.
Still think they make the eight, though. I'm big on this because of the draw that they've got. They're really hard to beat at home, and that's the case. That's why I think they win this game as well.
Value of 275?
Yeah, 275 is good value. I reckon they make the eight this year.
I reckon Dimmer has set this team up to play their best footy at the back end of the year, whether that we see that this year or not, but he's brought in those younger guys. Jed Walter looks like he's going to be a star.
Closey looks good.
Yeah, I just think they're setting their side up the right way. They're not looking for a sugar hit to win games early. They're looking for sustained success and sustained wins. So it was a disappointing game against Sydney, but Sydney are a formidable team at the moment.
So the danger for West Coast now is the heights that they reached last week. I mean, it was fever pitched, and you got to enjoy it. They haven't won for a long time, being a derby. But now comes the real battle. You fly 6 hours across. It's almost the longest flight along with Brisbane that they have to make. And it is now a game inside their head against Gold Coast.
Absolutely it is. But they move the ball so much better than they have at any stage in the last 2 years. We're seeing is how long have we seen since a West Coast side's been able to transition the ball from back 50 to forward 50 and lace out a forward? Like, Waterman's on a tear. He's kicked 11 goals in his last 2 weeks. We're seeing what Reed has done for them forward. Petrocelli and Cripps and these players. Darling's been a more imposing figure forward of all, and that's all without Oscar Allen. So there is some upside with him coming back. But yeah, I think it's going to be a reality check for them against the Gold Coast side, who don't lose at home.
Hard not to fall into Harley Reid, is it, at the moment? I mean, they'd probably want to keep a lid on him a little bit, but like he's a young man that just says, bring it on.
Yeah, I don't think he cares, and I don't think the lid matters. Like, to be honest, I think West Coast are going to be figuring out how they're going to try and pay him in a couple of years' time, because... And I don't want to put extra pressure on him, and I'm sure I won't, but he seriously just looks like a once-in-a-generation type player.
So the talk is $2 million. Like, I mean, he's signed for 3 years, so that he's locked in, and they're going to get him on a bargain basement price for 3 years. After that, though, has there ever been a player who's been in a better position financially to get the biggest contract perhaps we've ever seen in football?
Well, being over in the West and being a Victorian boy also helps, because I'm guessing, and I'm not saying he'll do this, but managers can then say, well,
absolutely,
he might want to come home and we're not sure. And I'm sure little murmurings will come out over the next 24 months, but you just got to love what he's doing. It looks like the energy he's brought has now transferred over to a few of their senior players, and they're just playing with a different energy and spirit.
Here's one for no mates in the media. You've got number one pick in the draft right now, and you can choose between Nick Dacos and Harley Reid.
Yeah.
Who are you picking?
Who are you picking?
I don't know. It's
one of the great fences.
Just wait. I've got an answer.
You can't lose.
One can have a better career than the other. Isn't that how you win or lose?
No one's going to come back in 15 years.
I'm probably taking Reid, but you just never know.
Taking Reid after Nick Dacos' first 2 years in the game, premiership player.
I like it when they sit on the fence. Okay, Jake Waterman, he looks like Wayne Gary at the moment. He's the beneficiary of this ball movement.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, there was doubt over his health, and he went through some real challenges through illness, so it's just good to see him back. He's aggressive. He's a good set shot for goal. He gets you on the lead, and he gets you in the one-on-one. So 11 goals in 2 weeks. He's been a star.
I am chips in on Jamie Cripps this weekend, because the Gold Coast Suns haven't been able to defend small forward. So Waitman kick 6, Toby Green kick 5, Papley, Rochelle, Bolton all kick 3. So if they can move the ball, I feel like Jamie Cripps is my man this week, starting at 2+ goals. I'm happy with an anytime goal, because it's a pretty good price, because they haven't been kicking a goal, and the algorithms, they take a while to catch up. You know what the algorithms are? Yeah. The traders upstairs. It works on an algorithm, and maybe in a couple of weeks, if Jamie Cripps starts kicking goals, it'll be a bit shorter. But at the moment, Isaac, he's a very good price to be
doing. It's complicated,
that.
This stuff, isn't it?
I lost my train of thought, because he just kept talking.
He switched on. Okay, Ben King, where's he at?
It's one good game, one bad game, isn't it? And that's the hard thing. So let's have a look at it. There's 2+ goals, so it probably looks pretty good. And you think he's their main target down there, because it's inexperience around him with Ethan Reid and also Jed Walter. So he's the main man, and he needs to be the main man. He's had a game of 4, which he kicked a couple of weeks ago. So 2+ against this West Coast side, you would think that's pretty much a certainty.
And the other Sunday game is Hawthorn up against the Sydney Swans, MCG. Some good space out there. Sydney like to play the MCG. Well, Goulden out the wing, but more importantly, McDonald plays a very good role in at the MCG in the forward half of the ground. He just seems to be able to find more room than any other place.
He loves it, yeah. And I'm just not sure Hawthorn have a matchup for him. Perhaps it's Frost, Isaac, who's got to go there. But there's his record at the MCG. 4 against Collingwood in round 1. 3 against Richmond in that game there. And you think against the Hawks, there isn't an ideal matchup for him. So he's one to definitely keep an eye on this weekend.
Isn't it amazing? When you get the pressure up the ground, your defence automatically looks stronger and better. So Hawthorn have been dealing with a fair few inside 50s this year. So if they can get the pressure on in the midfield, I think they can get the job done on McDonald. But as you said, he's been good at the
Just love to play as a forward in that Sydney side because no team uses the ball better and their midfield is elite with their ball use. A lot of midfielders just get it. They get a lot of it, but they hack it forward. Whereas Sydney, they're real methodical with the way that they move the footy.
So Isaac Heaney at the moment, the Brownlow medal favourite, but he isn't the player I want to go after this weekend because Hawthorn have been giving up numbers to wingmen. So they haven't been able to control wingmen. And who plays out in the wing is Errol Goulden, and he is loving the MCG. I think five of his last six at the MCG, including a couple of high 30s. Yeah. I think he only had 8 at halftime last week, finished with the 31 disposals, Errol Goulden. So his disposal line is 26.5, and he gets better and better and better as the game goes
on. Well, that's the thing.
He goes over 26.
He gets better as the game goes on. So if he has a big first quarter, I reckon he looks up at the scoreboard at the MCG and goes, oh, I've had 10 in the first quarter.
Did you do that? Because at the MCG, they did put the disposal numbers for each player, and I was just always not listening to the coach, but just looking to see where my name was on that board.
You certainly noticed if you'd had 0.
I've been told by a few people that you tagged that you could count both, and then if they were getting into you, you'd say, well, mate, you've only had 5 and I've had 8 and I'm
correct.
Tagging you.
He can't,
not just himself, he counted the opposition as well.
True story.
See, how do you do that?
Well, you just have an awareness of your direct opponent.
Do you have any other awareness of what's going on?
Defensive accountability for your direct opponent like they don't have
these days.
Did
you chop out for your teammates or was it just you arm across?
Just me worrying about my opponent.
10 times in the top 3 and the best of
the That's
fairest.
It, Brownie. Yeah. Nice, that is
now. That's a good voting.
Let's have a look at our multi for round 7. So this is where we put our best bet in. And my one is, I just want to be speaking about Errol Goulden at 25+ on the wing at the MCG.
And I stole that Taylor Walker one off you, Brownie. I like it. Tex, I think he probably kicks 5 or 6, but 3+ is a pretty good bet.
Yeah, and I reckon you've both been soft here, so I thought I'd throw Joey Denner in to kick 4, and he'll get up the ground, he'll get off the leash, he's been getting shots, and I reckon, well, Taylor's out, and I reckon he can do a bit of damage.
Imagine what this multi-price would be, Joe Danaher to kick 4 into Joe Danaher to have 20-plus disposals.
Maybe you get it up.
Price. I think he's going to look that one up after we get off air right now.
All right. Who is the lock this weekend? If you look at a team, and don't give me like $1.03. I mean, in some of the big games, who do you just feel like backing this weekend? I'm happy with my investment.
I'm just big on Geelong. So I just think they're so well structured. And with Carlton's outs that they've got, now they're going to start outside as Geelong as well. So I think there's some good value there. And I just love what they're doing and the way they've set up the season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the 4 forwards in that game kick about 12 to 15 goals.
Shootout.
Yeah.
Shootout.
The old shootout.
Nice. Old okay. Fashion. Thanks for sitting on the fence for once. It's going to be a massive weekend of football. We've got Anzac Day, Carlton playing Geelong. There are so many good games this weekend. Isaac, thanks very much. Kane, thanks very much. Back off to Adelaide, mate. Good luck and enjoy the weekend.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.